She's a new banker.
She seemed pretty good for being a banker.
I asked her if she'd send some, give me some samples, but
nah,
she just like Rick. You don't give me no samples. So. All right, take your Bible tonight. Turn to Psalm 100 and verse 1. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. Let's stand and read it tonight. Make a joyful noise unto the land. All the land, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is not He that hath made, it is He that hath made us and not ourselves. We are His people and a sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that we can come and fellowship. Lord, help us to learn something tonight that be encouragement to our hearts and our lives. Lord, bless these dear ones, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be more like you. Be with us as we go to camp. May it be a blessing, a help, and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It amazes me that the world is first the ones to come to a church and ask the church for help. I cannot tell you how many times I've got calls lately that says, hey, preacher, we're out of money. Can you help? The first thing I ask them, guess what the first thing I ask them? What church do you go to? And they hem-haw around, and then they'll tell me some church name. I say, what's the pastor's name? Well, we really haven't been there. But and I say, sir, you know what? I don't mind helping people, but when a person lies to me, I have a real hard time helping you. I have a real hard time. So if he lies to me about that, is he lying to me about his financial problem, whatever? By the way, you can go to jail for coming up to ask somebody for help, helping a church, and church gives you money, and you use it on things that you said you're not. You can go to jail for that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I tell them that. I said, you know what? According to Montana's constitution, if you come in and you panhandle a church, and you're doing this for hire, you're doing this for, you can go to jail for that. And they get real sober, amen. I have a friend named Louis. He's from the Fort Belknap. And Louis's been down seeing me a couple times. And Louis needs some help. And he said, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. He said, down here with my mother. And I don't know if I told this here. I told a Sunday school class this morning. I don't know. But he said, I just need some help. And he's got my wife. Got my kid with me. And he said, we're really in need of help. We need to get back to Fort. But I have a job at the Indian place where they do at the what? On the reservation. And he said, I just got to get home. My mom been in the surgery, and so 2 weeks ago, I said, I'll help you. And I said, where are you at? And he told me, I said, you're going to have to wait. Cause I said, I've got to wait for someone to come and take care of my wife. And I said, then I'll be over there. So I came, sure enough, he's waiting there. And there's his wife. And he came out. He said, I can't believe you came. I said, I told you were coming tonight. He said, well, he said, I know. But I says, you know, I just really having a hard time. And I said, you know what? I've had a hard time. I remember pastoring the First Baptist Church out in South Dakota. I drove to Brookings, which is 20 miles in, had to do some stuff, and while I was there, I was really hungry, and didn't have a penny to my name, didn't have a credit card back in those days. Those were the good days, amen. And didn't have a check with me, and didn't have any money in the checking account, even if I did. And I got out to my car and I said, "Dear God," and you get these hamburgers for 25 cents. And it's called Nick's Hamburgs. And he became a very good friend of mine after that. But I came in and I went and I took the back seat out of my car to see if there was any change in there. And sure enough, thank God, there was two hamburgers back there, amen. 25 cents, amen. And I went in. And he had kind of got to know me. He said, hey, Rev, he said, what you doing? I said, well, I just come and tell him to get some stuff. He says, how many you want? I said, well, I'll take two and just load it, will you? Amen. And he brought over three, and he said, that one's on me, amen. We become very good friends, and went hunting with him and stuff, and he became a very good friend. I married him and his wife, but I know what it is not to have two pennies to rub together. And when people are hurting and people are in need, first thing they think of, well, let's go down to church. I heard, I guess you can't call that anymore. You got to call them African. What do you call it? Native African American. African American. You got to call it that way. And I heard an old African American preacher preach. He says, "Well, bless God," he says, "it's getting so hard to make a living. I might as well go back to be a preacher." Amen. At least I got fried chicken and watermelon for preaching the service. Amen. So that's not why we go into the ministry. Amen. We go in the ministry to serve God, to do what God calls us to do. Thank God for the local church. That's what I'm trying to get around. Thank God for the local church. Thank God if you have a need and you know you've got a need and you don't know which way to go, you always got a preacher. And you got some people around you that'll help you. And you got something broke down, somebody will help you. There's always somebody in the local church that can help us. And that's one of the most amazing things about the local church is that there are people there who love you as brothers and sisters. This spring, I spent a lot of time with that brother. Every Thursday we'd head out of town. Boy, I'm missing that fellowship, Brother Michael. I am. I'm missing that fellowship. But there's just something about, didn't know Michael very well coming to church, but after we got riding together and going fishing up the holder, we started telling stories and found out he's one crazy guy, amen. And has to be have a wife like that. But anyway, the fellowship is so important. By the way, it's very genuine. For the most part, it should be very genuine in our fellowship. So I want to go over the church offers a place of service, and that's why I started the sermon out with Psalm 100 and verse 2, that we should be glad of serving the Lord. The gladness, the enjoyment, the walking in and seeing somebody. I tell Marcia, she's kind of, once in a while, she's kind of crying a little bit when we're coming to church because I've drug her out of the house, threw her car, take off running, go crazy. She's not ready for it yet, anyway. And I start singing to her. And I say, honey, Pam's going to be there, and Devin's going to be there, Charlene's going to be there, and Miss Jordan's going to be there. And I just start reading off names, and all of a sudden change her countenance. Just change her countenance. Then I said, and Mrs. Hobbs, she says, oh, brother. But anyway, it just changes our changes her attitude about everything. Just from that stoplight down to this stoplight. The most amazing thing. And the fellowship with the local church is so important. So important. The times we spend together are so important. So the church offers a place of service for the Christian, and these Christians are under the discipline of the local church for safety's sake. When one is not a member of the local church, he is completely apart from this, and he is on his own. And he's on his own. And I asked people, they said, well, I need some help. I said, where's your church? Well, I'll go to this church. I said, well, did you call your pastor? Well, no, I didn't call the pastor. I said, well, you need to call your pastor. You know, I'd be pretty upset if somebody in our church went over someplace else and said, well, I need some help. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be disappointed in that? And I said, you need to call your pastor. Many times I say, hey, you know what? I know your pastor, and I know his number. Do you want me to call him for you? You know what their response is? No, that's okay. So when that person gives me that, am I going to help him? Boy, it's hard for me not to help a person. Because I know what it is to look for two hamburgers in the back of my car. I understand that. I know what it is to not be able to pay my... I know what it is to scrounge everything and sell things and give things and just to pay a bill that I have to pay. I understand that. I also know that that I've worked a couple extra jobs to pay my bills. The Bible says about if a man don't work, he don't eat. And I have a hard time when a man's saying he can't make it, and he's stronger than I am, and he's younger than I am, but I'll do the work that he won't do. Real problem with that. So man ought to work hard. He ought to have enough character to get up in the morning and find a job. And you have enough character to stay at that job. Have enough character to stay with... Now, wait a minute. Let me back up a little bit. I understand that some people have some mental deficiencies. I understand that. Some people have some mental difficulties. I understand that, okay? Don't think that I'm just straight out whacked over the head on this stuff. I'm just trying to tell you that a man, if he can work, he can eat. And we have programs in America that help people. Those programs weren't to live on, I read about a guy that lived on a island, and he was getting all kinds of stuff from the government. Didn't work a day in his life. Well, that's not what the government's job is to do. We're not your daddy. We're not your dad. Get a job. He said, well, I can't get up in the morning. Get a night job. Well, I can't stay awake. Well, get enough money, buy some Mountain Dew or something. Somebody said they got a Jolt or something. Anybody know about that? Is that Mountain Dew?
No.
What is it?
Three times?
It's a cola-based drink.
It's dark like Coca-Cola.
Have you tried it? I figured you did. Is it good? Does it buzz you? Hey, you know where, anybody know where morning coffee is? I think it's morning coffee. Morning light coffee. I had I was at Mountain States, and I mean, we were having tests and everything. I was tired. And one of the guys at the college said, hey, I'll tell you what, come on over to morning light, I'll get you a cup of coffee. Went over there. I don't know what it was, but I mean, I buzzed. I mean, my eyeballs came open, you know. Man, my hair stood on end. It was something else, amen. Boy, whew. So I don't know. I've never went back there again after that. I was afraid maybe I got something I shouldn't be drinking, amen. So anyway, God tells us not and will not forsake his church. God promises the church to raise it up. So God said, don't you forsake it. And he said, I will not forsake it. I will raise it up. Its conception was in the mind of God even before the foundation of the world. And the church was provided by God by the death on the cross of Calvary and the birth of the advent of God in the Holy Spirit Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2. No human organization will ever replace it. You've heard of some of these parachurch organizations, ever heard of them? She said, well, what is that? All right, for instance, family in the home or family focus or focus on the family. That's a parachurch organization. And according to what he says, he's not trying to overstep the boundary of the local church. He's just trying to help people in church to help with some of the difficulties they have. So that's a parachurch organization. But a local church is the most amazing thing that God has given. It's a nucleus, first of all, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst. And so it's an incredible thing. Doesn't make any difference how big your church is. Doesn't make any difference how small your church is. God's Son, Jesus Christ, says, I will be there. Boy, what a blessing that is to me. What a blessing is you. I remember starting a church with eight people in Andelvin, Minnesota. Good night, about 48 years ago. I remember walking into that church, had eight people, and I was preaching to them in the rafters and the floor and we had a time, amen. All of a sudden it started to grow. God was good. Came here, we had 22 people of this church here and started, and God's blessed. And I'm gonna start calling it the yo-yo church, amen. We get a lot of members, and then we drop a lot of members. The military just takes them away, and then some more, and back more. It's just, it's kind of, I guess you'd call it a teeter-totter church. Joe Boyd used to, he had a church in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he called it the, Church of the Open Door Baptist Church. He said, man, he said, I started calling it the Revolving Door Baptist Church. He said, more people are coming in, people going all the time. But, hey, you know what? We're here to fellowship. We're to be together and help each other. The church was provided by God by the death of his death on Calvary's cross. And no human organization will replace it. No human mind could ever conceive of an organization that is better equipped to carry out the Great Commission. I tell you what, it's amazing what God has given to us. He gives us a church that we can govern ourselves through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Bible that got all the rule books we need in it. And may we stay faithful to our local church. And no Christian can find a sweeter fellowship and more satisfying service that the God-ordained, Christ-honored, Holy Spirit-led local church can provide. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You know what? There's churches all over the country tonight that are meeting tonight. They're preaching the gospel. All over the country. You say, well, we don't hear too much. No, they're small in number, but they're meeting tonight. They're small in number, but they're meeting tonight. I remember going over to the Philippines and many, many churches come in, 20, 30 people there at that church, and they were having a time of their life. I remember going into, Nepal and the church is there. 10, 20 people there meeting, amen. And, boy, you know, sometimes we, when the Orchesters go, we kind of forget. We don't want to forget about that church, those churches in Nepal that God is certainly raising up people and getting saved and still got the college going there. But they're vital. And all over the world, there's churches meeting. All over the world. There's churches in China that I mean, they call them house churches, and they're really out of the way places, and they're very careful how they meet. There are churches in Russia, and by the way, Russia has really put the screws down on Christian ministry, and they're really causing a lot of trouble there, sending people to Siberia again, and so putting people in jail. There's churches all over. I've been in the church in Dominican Republic. Remember we went to that one church? Only had about 20 there. But they had the fellowship, man. They were having a good time. And so we as Christians had the wonderful, nobody in the world ever conceived an idea of having a local church. But the Lord Jesus did. Here are some of the things local church that should be remembered. Number one, the founding of the local church. That's the essence. That is so important. The Lord clearly established a society which is called this is the Greek word, ekklesia. Ekklesia, all it means is called out assembly of baptized believers. That's all it means, ekklesia, called out ones. They fellowship together. And the call out assembly of baptized believers. You're looking for a name for a church. That's what it means. By the way, this building that we're sitting in and standing in today, this is not a church. This is the meeting house. The church I'm looking at. You are the church. We can go down to camp for our camp meeting. Heritage Baptist Church is down here. Amen. We could go to a pig pen. Still Heritage Baptist Church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's just an ecclesia is a local church in a particular city and particular house. Notice if you go with me tonight, you go to Romans chapter 16, 1 through 5. Romans 16, 1 through 5. Paul here is writing to the church and he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. A succor has the idea of feeding and taking care of people. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ. Did I say that right? In Christ Jesus. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. For the longest time, we had no idea about people getting their head cut off. But lately, we know about it, right? And that's exactly what he's saying there. He says, my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not I only give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruit of Achaia. In other words, he said this first guy I led to the Lord unto Christ. So these people that were part of this local church, they helped Paul on his way, and he's praising God for them. The Ecclesia has used the church universal regarding the collection of some aggregate of the local church of that time. And so, in other words, when he also spoke about the church, we call it the universal church. That's like Fairview and Temple and Triumph and some of these churches around town here that are good churches. He's talking about that. That's what he's talking about. These churches, the people. He's talking about the few. All the we got friends in the Philippines. We got friends in Nepal. We got friends down in the Dominican Republic, Barbados. We've got people, friends in Africa. We've got churches all over the world that we would call our. You know, they're our friends. They're people that we love the Lord and want to serve God with. So, look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10:32. Give no offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. And then 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in churches, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. So he's speaking about this aggregated group of people that we would call people that are Christians, and they go to different churches, but they call it the church. Then third, ecclesia is used as church regular as idea of part of time. And realizing God's purpose of redemption in Ephesians chapter 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And so we have these different ideas. We have the one that is spoke the most in the Bible is a local church. It's like the church of Antioch and the church of Ephesus, Philadelphia, those are the churches that he's talking about. Then there's also the ones that we just kind of combine everybody and say the church of God. Amen. So we see the essence of it. Now we want to see the entrance of the church or the beginning of the church or where it began. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, Acts chapter 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. And so when he started preaching, number one, he preached Christ. That makes the church, amen, we were supposed to preach Christ. And he preached that Christ should be accepted by faith, and that Christ should be confessed in their baptism, and then Christ, and it's kind of interesting, Christ added penitent believers to the church there in Acts chapter 41-42. Very, very interesting how they're added. So, first one, Christ was preached, and you could put Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 40. If Peter was preaching Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christ was accepted by faith, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 41 again, Christ was confessed in baptism. And then Christ added penitent believers, chapter 2, verse 41-42. So we have the church, and we have this magnificent organization that we call the church. So we have the founding of the church, but there's also another aspect that that is the function of the church. Okay, you got church. Well, what is it supposed to be doing? I guess that's the answer, reason for existence of the church. It was Christ's work which made provisions for the association among those in Christ. Jesus Christ saved us, and since He saved us, we become into His body, and so we want to serve Him. And in that church, we are to be given instruction. The Bible said they continued steadfast in the fellowship and baptism and Lord's Supper, worshiping and prayer. So those are the things in essence that we have to do. That's our function. Our function is for instruction. We want to teach the Word of God, like I'm doing tonight. Teach the Word of God. Teaches the basics of the Word of God. Teaches the foundations of God's Word. We are to continue steadfast. We're not supposed to. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote a book for his students, for preacher boys, and he said, "Let it not be given to fits and starts." he said, "You shouldn't have fits and starts in your ministry. You should be, just keep going. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just keep going. Keep plowing until you get to the end of the road. Turn around and go plow the other back." Amen. And don't go stopping with your fits and spurts and sparks. And he said, just keep going. Amen. And so we as a Christian, the Bible says, we're to remain steadfast. Stay with it. Stay. Many times now I'm writing, when I write people a letter, I say, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay with it. Don't let up. Keep going. Amen. There's people that say, well, I don't know. My church just doesn't turn me on. The Bible says you're supposed to be edified of that church. You're supposed to come and to worship, and you're supposed to fellowship, and you're supposed to listen. You're supposed to be instructed. Paul the Apostle says, come to attention when the preacher comes in. That's what it says. The Bible says, salute them that have rule over you. And people don't like that anymore. They say, wait a minute, ain't gonna have no preacher tell me what to do. Don't kill the messenger. I'm telling you what God's Word said. Now you do with it how you should do with it. Amen. That's a good time to say amen. You're upset with me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amazing, Paul the Apostle. He called people names out. He just called them out. You and you and you. You know what you did in this church. Boy, I tell you what. Amen. I guess I'm not that bold. They're to be steadfast. Also, they have fellowship. They're so important. We have fellowship one with another. I was talking to Pastor Commodore. My concern sometimes is that we come to church and then we're off, you know, instead of just stopping a moment and fellowshipping, laughing, and telling the latest fish story, telling the latest dog, baby, puppy story, telling the last trip you made to Yellowstone or went through Lincoln or whatever, you know. Lincoln is an amazing place. If you want to have the feeling of Alaska, stop into Lincoln. And stop at Lincoln's, have their wonderful chicken dinner, amen. And my neighbor's mom and dad owned that place. And I was talking to him one day, and he says, yeah, my mom and dad. I said, where are you from? He said, Lincoln. I said, Lincoln. I said, I always go stop at Lambkin's. He said, man, that's my mom and dad's pop's restaurant. So I said, well, I haven't got too bold yet. Next time I'll say, well, have them buy me a dinner when I go through there. Amen. So it's fellowship. It's also baptism. Baptism is a wonderful thing to do. And it's also the great divider, because a lot of people don't want to be baptized. Lord's Supper, very important that we would stop and take time for the Lord, and remember the things He's done for us, and remember the things that has happened and things that are going to happen, and remember that we need to have our hearts right before God. Amen. I would say that the Lord's Supper is a wonderful time. It's in God's economy, He set up the Lord's Supper, and that's a time that we as a local church should be right with God at that time. We should confess every sin that we have, in our mind, whatever, right there, right then. And we're very, very open about that. And we should confess that before the Lord. And then, of course, the worship and the prayer. And boy, do we need prayer. Folks, don't forget to pray for little JoJo. That's Tucker Pruitt's little baby. Pray that God certainly has his hand in that. And also pray for Rachel. Oh, my goodness. Rachel had to go by herself over to Kalispell today, having some private trouble. And we love him and show our love to him. We keep his commandments, the Word of God. And after love of Christ comes labor for Christ. And that's where that I picked up on that scripture over there where it's that says, serve the Lord with gladness. Boy, I tell you what, quit your griping. Thank God you got a job. Thank God you got something to do, amen. I know some people don't have, they couldn't get a job if they wanted one. But thank God you got a job, and I think of it as a church, we ought to thank God for the position that God gives us to serve here. What a blessing it is to serve at this church. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 18. Abounding in the work of the Lord. I was thinking about that abounding. I was thinking about just kind of bouncing around. You know, what is that, Tigger? Tigger that bounces around, you know? And he's always got a big smile on his face. Hey, Tigger. You know? And we ought to be abounding in the Word of the Lord. We ought to be bouncing here and doing the things that God wants us to. The Bible talks about our preaching, ministration of Bible ordinances, building up the believers with the diverse gifts that God gives, many gifts that God gives to us. What's he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4? Now there are diversities of gifts, different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences in administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And God said, hey, all of us should have something to do. You shouldn't just come in here and sit down in a chair. I'm not doing anything for God. If you've been saved and you got baptized and you're part of this local church, bless God, you ought to take possession of this church. Take possession of it. I know some people have never been to my office. Well, Pastor, it's upstairs. Well, I'll bring it down if I have to. Or I'll carry you up there. Yeah, maybe some of you, but anyway. But be a part of this church. Take possession of it. How many of the members of this Heritage Baptist Church? How many of your members here? Okay. If you're a member of this local church, this is your church. Let me tell you a real interesting story. When I die, or God takes away my ability to pastor, I was trying to figure out how much money I have invested at Heritage Baptist Church. Tonight, I just invested some more. I had already given my tithe, and I already given my missions, but tonight my heart is a little quivering about, I know a financing of our church, there's some difficulties here. And I usually keep some money in the back of my pocket right behind my badge and my sheriff badge, and I pull that out tonight. And I put it in. I'm invested. I don't know how much. I'm kind of interested in how much money I've invested in this church. Because I feel that if I don't invest in this church, how can I expect you to invest in this church? But when I leave here, all those books in the office, those are my books. And that desk up there is my desk. And there's some things I picked up in the Philippines and picked up all over the place and decorations up there. But when I leave without anything that I have given. You all understand that, right? And that's just the way it is. And because this is God's church. This is not Shear's church. This is God's church. This is your church. And it's about time some of you took possession of this church. It's about time somebody says, you know what? This church is mine. As a human being, as myself, I've tried to take possession of this church. I try to do things and try to make it better and whatever. I know that every Monday morning, Mrs. Hobbs, she possesses this church. I was going to say something about being possessed, but I didn't say that because she's not in here and I can't harass her. But she comes in and oh man, if you said you're going to clean the church, you don't do it right, you know she possesses this church. Why does she do that? Because she's an old snot? No, because she is proud of her church. She got saved here. She was an atheist when she came. Sitting right there, and she walked forward and got saved that Sunday morning. It's her church. So it's about time some of you start taking possession of your church. And that's what the Bible talks about. We together, as a union of Heritage Baptist Church members, and I don't care how old you are, you ought to be part of this church. There are some things for each member to do. Everyone in the church ought to be doing something besides gossiping. Thank you. You're here for a reason. Usher, nursery worker, bus worker, mechanic, musician, Sunday school teacher, officer, janitor. There are all kinds of opportunities for service. Y'all want to get out in the sun, come out here and cut down some of these weeds that are out here. Just do a little work. God knows what you can do. He knows our limitations, and I understand that. You can do anything God wants you to do, but you need to do it in gladness of heart. All of us can do something. If it's one little thing, we can do it. If God has spoke to our heart and said, we ought to do it, we ought to do it, amen. Take possession of this place. Somebody ought to take ownership of this place. You see something that's not just right, fix it up. The other day, I was watching Brother Jim told me there was some broken, what do you call it, brick cinder blocks broke over by the deal. And I said, when did that happen? Well, he said, I don't know. So we have cameras. And I went right back to it. And there it was. I seen him do it. And it was, to me, when I was watching it was not on purpose. One little boy just happened to tip that thing over, cinder block over, and it broke. Well, when it breaks, it's already broken, so let's wing it, you know. And it's the way it is. I'm glad that our kids did that because that means that there's nobody out, other people outside here trying to destroy our buildings and stuff, amen. But each one of us have a job to do. Even just picking up and saying, there's some rocks about this big that ought to be off our roads around here. You see a rock about like that, they're good, they throw really well in their bus. Well, pick them up. Throw them in a garbage can. Get rid of them. Anybody can do stuff like that. Some of you guys that have been trying to practice with your bow and arrow, get out there and kill these stinking gophers. Man, they're making a mess out of our place. Leave that deer alone. But anyway, how many seen the deer? Hey, he's fine, huh? He's heard his Baptist mascot, so leave him alone. Don't mess with him, amen. Huh? What'd you say? Good eating. Yeah. Okay, it says, I like wild game with potatoes and carrots, amen. So I guess I want to portray to you, get the idea that, hey, church is not coming and sitting down in a pew. Church is being part of this. Take ownership of this church. Go to building number two. There's always something to clean over there. Somebody ought to go clean that refrigerator again. Clean that thing out. Clean it. Make it. You see some stuff in there and you wonder what in the world. Throw it out. It's got mold on it. The dates are bad. Get it out of here. Amen. That's important that we do that. If there is a question about something like that, you might want to call your preacher and say, what about this? And usually I'll say, what does it say on it? And then I'll say, get rid of it. Or I'll call brother the bus people and say, hey, do you know anything about this thing? Somebody said there's a cake over there. It's been over there about a year. Is that correct?
No, I think before.
Not the fourth. There may be cupcakes in the fourth, but there's a cake over there. It's been over there for almost a year now. I'm telling you, I'm not into the year-old cakes in the freezer. But some of you just ought to clean something up around here and say, well, I'm going to take care of that thing, amen. So I just want to encourage you. I'm not fussing with you. I'm encouraging you. I want you to know that you ought to take part of your church. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a key. I'll guarantee you I can get you a key so fast your head will spin, amen. We'd be more than happy to have you to have a key of this church. Come in, clean, dust, whatever. And there's a lot of things that can be done around here. And I want to encourage you that. Now, the form of our church is to be unity. That's the form, unity. We're supposed to be together in this thing. Based on the possession of spiritual life, love with a pure heart, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3 to 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You hear that? Endeavoring. That's working at it. Working hard. Endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope in your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So these records are found there, over there in Acts chapter 2 and Acts through chapter 4, that authentic our church, we have an authentic church. This is the real thing. This is a real thing. This is our church. We rule together. We have a pastor. We have deacons. We have the form of government that God set up. We have teaching going on, Sunday school classes. Ladies that work hard in our church, try to help. We got a ladies meeting coming up, and that's the older women teaching younger women. And we have an authentic church here. And so enjoy it and embrace it. We are to preach Christ crucified, risen, and come again until he takes us home. This is what the local church is all about. Nothing more, nothing less. And may God give us gladness of hearts as we serve our local church. It's amazing. Wonderful place we can be. To find the loved ones each other and help each other, encourage one another. Troubles come, sorrows come. Hey, there's somebody there to help you and encourage you. Don't forget that. Don't go on your own sometimes. Don't go on your own sometimes. See, but God never intended you to be on your own. God intended you to be together. The old story about the preacher that came in. The old man hadn't been in church for a month. Came in, didn't say nothing. Fire is crackling and popping, and the preacher never said nothing. But he took the poker of the flaming coal, and he took it out and just put it by the side of the side. It wasn't long, and that thing just went black. And he sat there, watched the fire. And he told an old man, said, "Well, brother, it's good to see you." He said, "Been missing you." He pushed that thing back in the air and turned red. He says, the old man says, "I get it, preacher. I'll see you next Sunday." We need each other to keep us going. And may I encourage you to stay with it. There are people who want to discourage you. Hey, the Lord knows you have an authentic Baptist church, an authentic biblical church that you go to, and stay with it. And stay with the stuff, amen, and stay right with God. Father, I pray you bless now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to instruct from the Word of God. Thank you for our church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have so much to be thankful for. Now, Lord, bless this time. Lord, help us as we go to camp next week. And, Lord, as others who are faithfully doing their work and their job, Lord, I pray that you just help us to find our place, that we can call, "This is my job at my church." Lord, help us to serve you. God, we love you, and we thank you for all you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.